Let us continue our series called Walk with Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 16. Acts chapter 16. I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Scriptures today, and we'll read verses 16 through 18. Written by Luke, it reads, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the Spirit left her." Holy Spirit, would you come? To use this broken vessel for your glory. Would you pour into me to pour out to your people? Speak now. A message of hope, a message of freedom, a message of joy, a message that we can get to know you a little bit better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anything that promotes itself as free usually comes with a hidden price tag. Social media professes itself to be free. You download the apps, you get on, you join, you give them all your information if you got a real account. And they use you as their product to sell ads. Tubi and Pluto TV do the same thing. Websites place cookies on your device, whether you approve it or not. You think you went through and slid all the sliders over. Nope, they still got you. And they will put the cookie on your device and track you down and grab as much information from you as possible, some even cracking your other passwords and getting into your accounts. All of these things hinder our freedoms because they saddle you with burdens. Do you know anything in this world that's free anymore? Is there anything that is free? I'll wait. Freedom. What is free? You know, I know one thing that's free. There's one thing that is free for you and for me. One thing that we don't have to pay for, and is the absolute best gift we could ever receive. That gift is a gift called salvation. It is a free gift given by God, given to us graciously. It is our relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is our guarantee that when we leave this place, we will live in eternity with Him forever. Salvation costs us nothing, but it costs Jesus everything. Preach, Gary. I'm trying. It's a little too early. Let me slow down. What does it mean to be free? I asked Merriam-Webster. I said, what does it mean to be free? I looked up the word free, and here's some of the things that came up, some of the definitions, right? To not cost or charge anything, to be relieved from some unpleasant burden, right? For example, to be free of pain, to be unrestrained, right? To be released from bondage, or to be released from being enslaved, to be free of someone else's opinion. Freedom. One of America's most eloquent writers, Dr. Toni Morrison, during her commencement address to Barnard College in 1979, said this, that the function of freedom is to free someone else. Freedom is a concept that must be taken seriously, and it must be used appropriately, because freedom without maturity, freedom without accountability, freedom without culpability only leads to anarchy, insurrection, and nihilism. What our dear sister, Dr. Morrison, was conveying to these graduates was that true freedom is not selfish. True freedom is not all about you. True freedom is not getting everything that you want when you want it, wherever you want it. That's not true freedom. Freedom isn't freedom until you work to achieve freedom for those who are still in bondage. That's freedom. Therein lies the challenge for us Americans. Those of us in American society, each one of us has an idea of what freedom means to me, what freedom should look like for me. We all identify something that, what is freedom? Freedom means this to me, and we pursue it at our polarized extremes. And all that does is fracture our fragile democracy. All it does is hurt the people that we try to, we don't even pay attention to them. We just run over them, step over them, trying to get to our freedom. We will do anything for our freedom, including put others in bondage. Can you imagine if we all acted on our freedom? Can you imagine if we all acted on our freedom to do whatever we wanted to do whenever we wanted to do it? Can you imagine if we all acted on our freedom to say whatever we wanted to say whenever we wanted to say it? Can you imagine a world where we acted on our freedom to eat whatever we wanted to eat whenever we wanted to eat it? Can you imagine a world where we acted on our freedom and we could sexually pursue anyone and anything we wanted to sexually pursue whenever we wanted to sexually pursue them? Can you imagine a world where we could take anything we wanted to take whenever we wanted to take it? That would be a world of corrupt morals, of corroding morals. Oh, wait a minute. That's the world we live in right now. I knew it sounded familiar. Doggone it. You see, misused freedom destroys communities. Misused freedom destroys cultures. Misused freedom creates colonization. Misused freedom corrupts Christian character. Today, some of us, I'm going to make somebody mad, so I'm just warning. Some of us even admire and lift up and celebrate and vote for people who misuse their freedoms. They use their freedoms selfishly and irresponsibly, and we look up to them as heroes. When will we learn to walk like Jesus? When will we learn that freedom is not something that is selfish, but is something that I reach out to someone else to bring them along so they can experience the same freedoms that I have? When will we learn to live a life that Jesus has called in his scriptures and not what I make up, the gospel of Gary Dawkins? When will we take this God seriously? Don't leave yet. I got something better for you. Freedom should lead us to pursue our greatest God-ordained potential. That's what it should do. When we are unrestrained by socioeconomic, physical, and emotional confinements, when we are unrestrained by educational and housing disparities, when we are unrestrained by mass incarceration and systems that create a caste system and other systems that put people in permanent poverty, when we are free from income disparities, then we can experience all that God has created us to be. You see, it's not until we are all free that we are free. But we must be reminded that the fraudulent use of freedoms leads to the fracturing of relationships and the failure for other people. Such is the story that we see in the scriptures. Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey to Europe. He's taking a few of his buddies with him. He's got Silas. He's got Timothy. He's got Luke, the writer of this passage. They all hang in with him. And they are walking in the Spirit of Christ through the city of Philippi, Macedonia. Why are they there? Why did Paul choose this place? Well, because if you read the whole chapter when you get a chance. A few verses up, he had a dream. He was sleeping. And in his dream, he saw a man who invited him and said, "Paul, come and help me in Macedonia. I need your help." And so Paul took that as a word from God to go and help in Macedonia. My question to you is this: what have you been dreaming about lately? Have you been writing down your dreams? Do you keep a journal by your bed? Do you keep your phone over there? Do you wake up and immediately like write down what just went through your mind? What's waking you up in the middle of the night? What's been bothering you and working on you as you try and rest at night? Did you know that God speaks through dreams? Read your Bible. It'll help you. Job chapter 33. He says, God speaks through dreams and night visions, though we don't pay attention to them. God is speaking to you in your dreams. We got to be more aware. We got to take some time and listen to what God is telling us. God might be warning us of something that's coming ahead. God might be preparing us for that thing in our future. God might be inspiring us to pursue our God-ordained potential. But if we don't write it down or reflect on it or remember it, sometimes those thoughts float away. In this story, we're introduced to at least two men who use their freedom selfishly, who use their freedoms irresponsibly for financial gain. That sounds familiar. And they make their money by taking someone else's freedom away from them. They have enslaved a young girl. They enslave this girl and are using her body and her gifts for their profit. This is biblical antiquity's version of human trafficking. This young lady has no physical options because she's a slave. This young lady, this child, this girl, she has no spiritual options because the text tells us that she is demonically oppressed. There is a spirit in her And she is compelled to do things that she doesn't want to do because of her bondage. Have you ever been in that situation? Where someone else's rule over your life dictates your life, where someone else puts their burden on you and it slows you down and it weighs you down and keeps you from being all that God has called you to be. Have somebody ever put something on your back that is keeping you from being what God created you to be? Maybe you've never experienced something as extreme as human trafficking. But we all know what it's like to be bound by the crushing weight of sin that controls our lives. We've all experienced some sin that has directed us and taken us off course, or maybe taken us to a place where we don't want to actually go or be. Maybe it's your sin that is keeping you from being all that God has called you to be. Maybe it's someone else's sin that is a burden on you and it is deterring you from moving in the direction or being comfortable going where God is calling you to go. What is incarcerating you this morning? What is binding you right now? Who is controlling your life today? She is being directed by forces beyond her control. And those forces, they direct her, watch this, to tell the truth. Read the text for yourself. I'm just telling you the Bible. Verse number 17, it says that she said in that, watch this, that spirit that's in her is directing her to say this: they are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. She ain't lying. But wait a minute, Gary, I thought you said that this was a demonic spirit, like she's being possessed, and like, so why would the demon tell her to tell the truth? Like, isn't that a good thing? The truth is a good thing, right? Right? I guess. Even the devil will use a portion of the truth to satisfy his purpose. Let me remind you of Genesis chapter number 3, where he goes and has a conversation with a lady named Eve. And he presents her with nothing but the truth, the whole truth, and all that stuff. And he starts asking her some questions around that truth to confuse her and make her make a decision that sends humanity in a spiral of sin for thousands of years. So much so that it affects you and me right now. He knows what he's doing. You think that's the only place that he spoke up? No. Job chapter number 1. Satan approaches God, the Father, with a portion of the truth about this man named Job and say, hey, man, let me get my hands on him. You know, and let me tell you the truth about this guy named Job. And let me get, and what does he do? He gets in and tries to manipulate Job to curse God. Destroys that man's life. Oh, you think that was the last time? No. If he gonna approach God, this dude is bold. He approached Jesus in Matthew chapter number 4, and he preached the truth to Jesus. He quoted to Jesus Psalm chapter 91. He said, hey, if you jump off of this mountain, God's going to send angels to come and grab you, and you're not even going to dust your feet. You know what I'm saying? God's going to take care of you. And Jesus like, man, I don't got to do what you got to tell me. I don't have to do what you say to me. You see, the devil will always use a portion of the truth to appeal to your emotions. It's my emotions that get me to do the things that I shouldn't do. But you know, God, I really like this thing, you know. But you know, it seems right, but what is the truth? God, I really like being here and doing these things and going over here. But God is saying, but what is keeping you in right relationship with me? There might be an element of truth here, but is it taking you out of relationship with me? Paul sees right through this truth. It's interesting. He sees that it's a setup. It's a setup. You have been set up before? He's been being set up to fail. Oh, man. Y'all ain't seeing what I'm saying. Here you go. He is being set up to fail. Have you ever had a friend or a so-called friend that set you up? That put you in a position to make a decision to do something that hurts you in the future? Have you ever had somebody put you in a position, set you up to make a decision that was going to harm somebody that you loved? Have you ever had somebody put you in a position to make a choice or decision or get involved in some action that you regretted in the morning? Paul sees that this is a demonic setup. Even though it is the truth, you will always have people in your life and around your life who will use a portion of the truth to try to take you away from what God is calling you to do. And watch this, because they're looking to benefit from it. They will always set you up to benefit. And some of them we call friends. But, hey, the Spirit, well, let me tell you this, that let me get back to my notes, because I get off my notes, I don't know what I'm talking about. Here it is. Whenever, no matter who you're having a conversation with, no matter who you're listening to, no matter if it's a podcast or a politician, whether it's a preacher, or if he's your best friend, whenever you're listening to another person, always be aware and always dig a little deeper and see beyond the truth on the surface to be aware of the motive behind their message. Because there's a reason they're telling you what they are telling you. And it's usually for their benefit. The Spirit in this girl is telling the truth for the wrong reason. She's telling the truth for the wrong reason. The Spirit, watch this, you got to do a little research. Here it is. The Spirit was putting Paul and his companions in danger. Yes, it might have been the truth, but if you do a little, read it, and do a little research, you find out that Philippi of Macedonia is a Greco-Roman city. Therefore, it is ruled by Caesar. Therefore, if anybody comes up in that camp talking about there is another most high God, they're off with their heads. And so now Paul and his crew who are preaching the gospel, the name of Jesus Christ, above who is there is no other name above him, they're coming in talking about the most high God. And now this girl is ratting them out. Yeah, she's telling the truth, but for what reason? For their death. So their ministry could have been forcibly and prematurely terminated if this spirit was going to have its way. So Paul recognizes that she needs to be set free. I need to get my spiritual bag right here. She needs to be set free physically. She needs to be set free spiritually so that she can choose to follow Jesus, so that she could choose to pursue her God-ordained future for herself and not what somebody else has put on her back. So he says to her, I know you got all these bondages, physical, emotional. I know you got all these bondages, spiritual. I know you got financial bondage, but I got one name that's going to break you from all of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, be free. Ah, maybe you came in with some kind of bondage today. Maybe you've got some financial bondage and financial problems. Maybe you're in bondage to other people's opinions. Maybe you're carrying around the bondage of guilt or the fear that somebody's going to find out about what you did in the past. Maybe you got some kind of bondage with your children and they won't act right and they're acting a fool. Maybe you got some bondage in your relationship and in your marriage. I'm telling you today that there's one name that can break it all, and he can break it today. You're in the right place today. Because we're going to talk about how we can walk in this kind of freedom. What does this text tell us about walking in freedom? I'm glad you asked me that. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Listen, the first thing in the name of Jesus that we need to do is to persist in prayer. Look at verse number 16. It says, once we, this is Luke writing in the first person. Remember, he's a part of the gang. It's Luke, it's Timothy, it's Paul, it's Silas. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit. Paul and the others are on their way to pray. And they get interrupted. Paul and the fellas are on their way to encounter God, and they get distracted. Paul and the fellas are on their way to church, and they get somebody trying to take their attention away. Have you ever been in that situation? Every time I'm trying to go and pray, every time I get down on my knees and say, God, I'm going to spend some time with you. Every time I start to open up the Bible and read, every time I start to go to church, I find myself getting distracted. That's when my telephone rings. That's when I remember I got laundry to do. That's when I remember my kid doesn't have lunch that day. That's when I remember that I've got all of this stuff to do. My text messages start blowing up. My email starts blowing up. I start paying attention to the song on my playlist, and everything takes my attention away from engaging with God. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but I'll tell you my business. You see, something will always happen to interfere with your intimacy with God. And watch this. That's a good thing. I knew I came to church on the wrong day. This preacher is crazy. He just told me it was a good thing that the devil is distracting me from praying. Well, not completely, but let me tell you this much. When you are being distracted from engaging with Almighty God, that means, and the devil is a part of it, that means you are a threat to the devil's kingdom. That means he sees that if you hook up with God and you get that power that God's got for you and you start living in your God-ordained life, oh my gosh, I've got to run and hide. I got to stop this joker from getting closer to God. The question is, who's going to win that battle? Are you going to succumb to the devil's plan to distract you and say, you know what, I'll get with you another day, Jesus? Or are you going to get with Jesus and says, no matter what happens, Jesus is number one? I don't care how sunny it is outside, Jesus is going to be number one. I don't care if it starts raining outside, Jesus is going to be my priority. I don't care if I start getting tired, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee. I don't care if my kid acts a fool, I'm going to lock the door and they can deal with that later. I'm going to find a way to get into the presence of Almighty God because he's my priority. That's the question. Is he my priority? If you want to be free, he needs to be. When I hit the hurdles of distraction, I need to remind myself to persist in prayer. I need to remind myself that Jesus is my Lord. And with him, I can overcome anything. And so sometimes I need to set myself up for success. Sometimes I need to turn the phone completely off. Sometimes I need to get into my secret place. Sometimes I need to go into the closet and close the door. Sometimes I need to go into the bathroom because I can lock that one. And put some earbuds in so I can't hear when they knock. Sometimes I need to just go for a walk. Sometimes I need to go for a drive. Sometimes I need to just get away to put myself in position to have greater success of engaging with Almighty God. You got to set yourself up for success. Don't let the devil distract you. Don't let him keep or distract you and win. You see, we've got to focus on prayer. We've got to get into prayer. And watch this. If you're still having trouble, ask somebody else to pray with you. That's why we got prayer teams up here after the service. We got people sitting around you right now. They are willing to pray with you about anything going on in your life. Guess what? Meet some people after service. Get their phone number if they want to give you, or get their Instagram or whatever. Connect with somebody. So if you need some prayer during the week and you can't find the time or whatever, you reach out to them and say, hey, can you pray with me? Help me right now. Because with much prayer comes much power. But watch this. It's not the prayer that is powerful. It's the one you're praying to that's got all the power. The prayer is just the conduit to get to him. All right, let you all alone. I got two more points. I'm going to try to run through them real quick. Here it is. Number two. What is it? Create change. Wherever you are, create change. Right where you are, create change. Liberate your surroundings. You see, freedom is not just about you. That's what Toni Morrison was saying. It's not just about you. It's about your environment. Why? Because if your environment is not free, there's only so much freedom you can experience. Verse number 18. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed. Luke put so in there too. Like, I can see him rolling his head, rolling his eyes in his head. So annoyed, Paul. Paul was annoyed. The Greek word here for annoyed means to be disturbed, displeased, offended, or worked up. Here's my question to you. What's working you up these days? What's disturbing you these days? What's really bothering you or getting at you these days? Guess what? I believe that that's the Holy Spirit nudging you to take action to bring freedom in that area. You are created in the image of God to be a difference maker, a trendsetter, a pioneer, not a wallflower. Your job is not to sit on the sideline and watch everybody do the work. Your job is to get in the game and play. Everybody gets to play in the vineyard. So when you look around and you say, oh, man, that's not done yet. Oh, nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's even thinking about that. I wonder why they haven't done that yet. It's because God is drawing your attention to it so you can do something about it. Wherever you go, bring freedom. Whoever you're around, bring freedom in that conversation. Watch this. When you step in the room, it should light up so much because the love of Jesus, the light of Jesus is inside of you. Everybody should look like, man, Jesus is here. I can get free because you are here. All right, let me leave y'all alone on that one. Change happens when we value people over profit. Uh-oh. Paul didn't see this young girl as a slave who could generate income. He saw her as a person. As a person. When was the last time you saw a person who was annoying you as a person? We cuss them out, fuss them out, talk about them, write about them on social media. We do everything against them because we don't like them. But when are we going to look inside and see that there's a person there. A person who is a human, a person who is created in the image of Almighty God, a person that God loves. Let me tell you a little Greek. First of all, this, can you go back to verse number 16 real quick? Verse number 16 says this, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. That's NIV's translation. The ESV and the King James both say this young girl had a spirit of divination. The Greek text says that this young lady had a pneuma python. Y'all missed it. A pneuma python? The word pneuma means spirit. The word python, in the Greek, it's actually pronounced puthon, for those who are going to approach me after service and, you know, critique my Greek. Thanks, experts. I still love you, though. This word python or puthon, right? What does it mean? It means, yes, in some instances that somebody can predict the future. It means a demonic spirit is upon you that is working through you. But it's also what we can trace back to the Garden of Eden, the snake that stood up and spoke to Eve. But watch this. It's also defined as a ventriloquist. There is a ventriloquist standing up in this girl. There's a snake standing up in this little girl, speaking to this girl. There's a spirit speaking through this girl, and it's not the girl. We got to stop getting mad at these people that we don't like. We got to stop getting upset and fussing out people who say something wrong to us or cut us off in traffic. I know I'm the main one. I got to reserve these fingers for something else. We got to work on. Sorry, I'm trying to keep going. Jesus, give me peace. We got to work on seeing people as people. Watch this. Paul, the text says in verse number 18, it says, Paul spoke to the spirit, not to the girl. There's some spirits in this world that you and I need to learn to speak to. There's some spirits in this world and we got the power to call them out. We got the power to speak to the spirits in this room and call them out. Because it's not the person that's giving you a problem. There are powers, principles, and principalities in this world that we live in that we are against and fighting against, not other people. We're supposed to love every person. God says, love God and love people. That's all you're supposed to do. Two commandments. That's actually one. All right, here we go. Last line, I'm gonna let the worship team come back up here because I'm going to get out of here on this. Last point. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me who needs to be free. Maybe it's me who needs to be set free today. You see, you can't give away what you don't have. You can't set people free if you're not free. Maybe you need to examine your life and see what's keeping you bound today. What's holding you back today? Maybe you feel like you have no options because you're bound by some physical ailment or something spiritual or something emotional or something financial. Maybe you're here today because you've been abused as a child and that haunts you to this day. And now you can't move forward because those memories keep coming to the front of your mind. Maybe you were abused physically or sexually and that has prevented you from seeing your self-worth and your value that God has placed inside of you. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with some type of substance abuse or addiction and you say you look at yourself down and you have low self-esteem. God loves you and he created you in his image. Don't allow what you're going through to define you. When the spirit was removed from this girl, she got her future back. She got her life back. She became free to pursue all that God had ordained for her life. Somebody needs to be set free today. Somebody is being hindered from something, by something, that's keeping you from pursuing all that God has ordained your life to become. Something happened in your past and it's taking you on this direction of life when God wants you to be over here. How are you going to get back over here? You need to be set free. And he said, there's only one name that can do that. No matter what you're going through, physical, financial, emotional, it doesn't matter what you're going through, there's one name that can break the bondage, the chains that are holding you down. What is weighing you down today? What's keeping you so oppressed that you can't move forward? What's so heavy on your mind and on your shoulders and on your back that is keeping you from pursuing that in which God promised you years ago? What are you refusing to participate in? What steps are you refusing to take forward because of fear? That fear is weighing you down. God wants you to be free. And he doesn't want you to be free next week. He doesn't want you to be free when you get your stuff together. He doesn't want you to get free when you get that new job. He doesn't want you to get free when you get that car. He doesn't want you to get free when you get that promotion. He doesn't want you to get free when you finally get that house. He doesn't want you to get free when you finally get that car fixed. He doesn't want you to get free when you finally get the right friends around. He wants you to be free right now. He says, in the name of Jesus, be free today. That's what Paul said in verse 18, in the name. And he said, at that moment, that spirit was gone. So in the name of Jesus, you got to call his name over those things that are holding you down. The name of Jesus over my finances, Jesus over my family, Jesus over my children, Jesus over my grandchildren, Jesus over that problem that I'm having, Jesus over my sexuality, Jesus over whatever is binding you right now from seeing him for all that he's called you to be. Jesus over everything. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me? Worship team, y'all can come on up here. I'll be here till 12, 1 o'clock. Y'all be walking out the door. Like, what's wrong? I speak the name of Jesus over your life. And there's somebody here today who needs to be set free. It's something you came in that's binding you, something that you won't even confess to or talk to anybody about. It's something that you even adopted and you don't want to let it go. It's something preventing you from reaching your God-ordained potential. And Jesus wants you to be set free of it today. It might be something spiritual. There are demons in this room right now. I'm not trying to scare you. We live in a world, a spiritual world, and the demonic is always trying to take you away from Jesus instead of to. So if there's a resistant spirit in you right now, just call Jesus. Can somebody say his name with me? Jesus. 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 Listen, if you're here today, and there's something that's binding you, something that's got you incarcerated, something that's holding you back, would you just lift your hand in the air? I'm going to pray. But just put your hand, lift your hand. If there's something that's holding me back, there's something that's keeping me in bondage, there's something that is arresting me from being all that God has called me to be. And I want to be set free from it today. Listen, if you're nearby somebody with their hand, would you ask them if it's okay if you put your hand on their shoulder? Because God wants to set some free people free today. You see somebody with their hand up, ask them if it's okay. Put my hand on your shoulder. Because I believe God moves through people. He moves through our words. He moves through touch. He moves by the power of His Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come? In the name of Jesus, would you break every chain that has me in bondage? Would you break everything that is incarcerating me right now? God, would you come and make a way in my life that I haven't been able to make on my own, Jesus? Will you hear my prayer, my call, my cry? Because what is holding me is holding me down. And I need to be free. Jesus wants you to see your value today. A sense of purpose is being restored into your life right now in the name of Jesus. That history, that thing that happened to you as a kid, you never told anybody about, but it keeps coming back to your memory. Jesus wants to break that bondage right now. No longer will my history hinder me in the name of Jesus. No matter what that family member did to me, no longer will it hinder me in the name of Jesus. Be set free. Holy Spirit, have your way. I stand in the gap for my kids who need to be set free. My grandkids, my nephews, the young people in my life. Will you set them free, Jesus? Speak against the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. God no longer wants you to be defined by your worst mistake. You today need to see that you are a son and a daughter. He loves you more than anything that you may have ever done. And He calls you my child. You are loved. You are accepted. No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, He has His arms around you right now. May the peace of God be upon you. May the joy of the Lord be in your life. May His strength abide with you in this moment. Jesus, break it. Jesus. Amen. You can keep praying for the person that's near you if they still need prayer. I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come up. And they're going to be up here. Because there's somebody who didn't raise your hand. You need personal prayer. We have prayer teams that are right up here ready to pray with you about anything. If you still feel the weight of that bondage on your neck, on your back, on your mind, don't leave here with it. Come and get prayer for whatever is binding you, incarcerating you today. I'm going to pray to close. Worship team, you'll sing us out. But come on and get prayer. Get your kids and let's have a great day. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the freedom that we are experiencing right now. We thank you for breaking every chain that has been keeping us in bondage, that addiction, that financial problem, that family member, my kids. God, would you break us free completely and restore your right spirit in us? Would you bless us as we leave this place and give us a renewal, a revival, a new life and a new lease on life, that we can walk in freedom with you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Bless us all. Amen. God bless you. Have a fabulous day.